Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Oh, yeah. I like this song for Grant and all of us right now. Because it's so true. Don't worry about a thing.
It's a good idea, right?
Yeah.
It's a good philosophy. Good concept. Yeah, it's a good concept. I don't know that there's a lot of Braves fans out there that are unworried and unbothered. I think they're a little worried. But everything still might be all right. Like, you know what I mean? It's pretty early. We'll get to an AMA coming up in 20 minutes. Any question, any topic, phone lines are 404-726-0929. That's also the text line if you want to send us a text as well. But we'll get to the AMA. We'll answer as many questions as we possibly can coming up in 20 minutes. Before we do that, let's talk to Grant McCauley. Grant McCauley joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Grant, how are you?
I'm doing all right. I didn't know if I was going to have to be like the ultimate heel and ask for my music to be played, because I don't know if the good vibes or the tunes are necessarily going to change what we've been watching this first week of the season.
We're trying. We know what everybody's going through.
You know what? You got to try, right?
So let me just throw this at you while asking you to try. Is there anything good? Like, is there anything good that you can say about the first six games?
Not much, to be honest with you. There's just not. And I think that it's kind of gotten to that point where, you know, you try to go day to day, and the Braves are pretty good at doing this, and we've talked about that a lot. I think it's one of the strengths of this club is that they are able to rebound and not hit the lowest of lows and stay there. They also don't get on a run and, you know, all of a sudden just become complacent. But, you know, this, I think, is – there's a lot of different things, and I'm sure we'll try to unpack as many as we possibly can here, but – this is a club that left Florida going on, what, a couple of weeks ago, 10, 12 days ago, whatever it is. They've been out west. Maybe they wanted to go out there and thought it was a good idea to start the season, but it would appear, based on what's happened in San Diego, what's happened in Los Angeles, what has happened off the field with Jurickson Profar, on the field with Reynaldo Lopez, you've pretty much just checked the boxes of all the stuff that you don't want to start a season.
Grant, when you get a situation where when you get a player who tests positive for the PEDs is suspended, how far in advance do the clubs usually know this? I know the NFL, you usually kind of know maybe a week or so before the news actually comes down. How long do they know in baseball when they know they're going to get suspended?
I don't know that there's a hard and fast rule, but from what I understand about this, and this is convoluted, and you know I could be wrong about this, but they don't have some kind of advance notice. So this is not necessarily something that, you know, say this test happened at some point during the off season, you know, whatever the cycle, no pun intended, is for doing all these tests. You know, did Jurickson Profar know this before he signed his contract? I don't know that. Did it happen as soon as guys showed up for spring training? Possibly. And then he would know, but the club doesn't necessarily, I think, get informed immediately because he has the right through the Players Association to appeal. But once that is heard and once that is, I guess, in process or has been processed, then the club is going to find out. So I think that, you know, we can look back on it now knowing that, hey, they signed Alex Verdugo at the end of spring training. Hey, they got that Stuart Fairchild guy from the Reds. They didn't announce a corresponding move on the 26th man, but did the 40 man move that they had to. And then the hammer fell on the Jurickson Profar thing. So they certainly knew, but how far along, I don't really know that there is necessarily a timeline that is hard and fast for every single time this kind of thing happens. But they don't, I think, have weeks and weeks or months of knowledge about this.
Taking the Profar suspension off the list, because I think that's the, so far this season, that's the thing that's the worst, because it's just so unexpected. It's not an actual on-field thing. It's, you know, it's half the season and the playoffs. It's very, very bad. So yeah. take that one off there. What's the most shocking thing or surprising thing to you about the first week?
Well, the offense in general has been shocking, baffling, just, you know, everything that you thought that they were going to be able to address and course correct and at least start to find a little bit of consistency. I mean, every once in a while, you'll run into a good pitcher. I mean, nobody's expecting them to score 5 or 6 runs a night. I mean, if you look at Major League Baseball last year, I mean, I've had people kind of saying, well, I'm not going to feel good about this team unless they're scoring 5 runs a night. But 3 teams in baseball did that last year. Like, that's the exception. It's not the rule. Now, based on what we saw in 2023, we know it's possible, but it just hasn't been happening. So I would say that's probably the most surprising in a bad way thing about this Braves season. The Profar thing to me, it kind of comes down to, you know, if you saw Tommy Boy and everything's gone wrong, and, you know, Chris Farley, I think it is just could have done without that. That is where I would categorize the Jerkson Profar thing. You know, I can deal with everything else that's going on, you know, bad performance or whatever it is. We'll get over that, yeah. But could have done without that. Yeah.
What about the pitching set part about it, Greg? You see Lopez, he's going to have a procedure done to his arm. Don't know how long he's going to be out. But, I mean, is it just what you got right now that's up here? I mean, Bryce Elder's getting a replacement start today. Is it just one of these things where you – and I know he only pitches one time, maybe once a week, but is it like just hang on until Spencer gets back?
Yeah, in a lot of ways it is, but I think at that point you're going to continue to reassess your options, and this could open the door for, you know, other moves could be made at some point this season, though. Like, you're sitting here in the first week of April, right. And you know, you're not so much looking at Alex Anthopoulos and saying do something right now. I think people are now looking back and saying, why didn't you bring back Charlie Morton? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? And that's hindsight, and that just goes. I mean, you don't plan for, you know, and you can't plan for, I don't believe, every single pitcher or player to have an injury replacement who approaches the level of which you lost that player. But when you do lose Max Fried and you do lose Charlie Morton, on top of that, you can't afford to lose Ronaldo Lopez. I mean, they were counting on him, quite obviously, and that kind of thing has gone sideways. So, yes, you need to get Spencer Strider back. You need Chris Sale and Spencer Schwellenbach to be who you hope that they are and can be. And then I think you start to assess some options beyond that. Is that Hurston Waldrop? A.J. Smith-Shawver obviously is going to have quite a runway here. They traded Ian Anderson to give him the opportunity first. But, you know, that's another guy that you can't call on now because you had to make a decision about him, and the decision was to trade him away. I don't know that he's going to necessarily make you look back in hindsight and regret that, but it's just one less option you have in-house that had major league experience.
Grant McCauley joining us here on the Midday Show, talking about the very tough start to the Braves season, our 92.9 The Game Braves insider. I realize there's so much bigger, like worse stuff going on that folks are focused on, but I've been a little bit surprised, maybe I shouldn't have been, just about how shortstop has been playing out. Is that going to be a platoon? Like, is it just going to be kind of split the way that it is as it has been?
It certainly seems like it will, and I think the reason that you could see that, and I don't know if this is a case of 6 in one hand, half a dozen in the other, but, and I don't mean this at any expense to Nick Allen, but he's a pretty good defensive player. Mm-hmm. You're not expecting a lot out of him offensively, and I think he could kind of say the same thing about Orlando Arcia. You wanted him to play solid defense, and then offensively, you probably didn't expect a lot out of him based on last year's results. So I don't think he did anything to take that position and run away and hide with it. Mm-hmm. So that has opened the door for the opportunity that I think Nick Allen is getting right now. And this could be a case of, yes, a platoon, riding the hot hand, whatever you want to call it, because these are two right-handed hitters who are in a timeshare at the moment. And I think a little bit of opportunity there, you know, you can explore it because you're basically looking at somebody to hit at the bottom of the order and play a capable shortstop. And that kind of comes down to, you know, I know a lot of people wanted to see an upgrade there as well over the winter, but that didn't happen either.
Grant, I know Schnitt talked about it yesterday. Do you see the pressing aspect of what he was talking about as far as the guys at the plate?
Sure. I think that has to be in there. I think that was a big part of the equation last year. Mm-hmm. I think injury, I think some inconsistency, some bad habits, some mental fatigue, if you will, especially as the season wore on. You know, you've got a team here that, you know, again, you are what the numbers say you are to a certain extent, but talent-wise, like, for example, I pulled the 6 worst starts by the Atlanta Braves in franchise history in terms of winless starts for this club. I think 2016 wasn't that long ago. Right. We can all remember how that thing started out. The others start to, you know, fade back. You get into the 80s, there's a couple there. Then you get into 1940 and 1919, and none of us were around to deal with those. But I looked at the batting averages of all those different clubs, and of course, they're different eras. Nobody's done it quite as poorly as the 2025 Braves have, and I don't know what that says other than it has to get better in a lot of ways, but you've essentially got two guys that are getting on base at an acceptable clip, and everybody else is, to use the phrase, going through it right now. Then you throw the Profar thing in, and you're still waiting on Ronald Acuna Jr. This offense is just kind of in a bad place. And I think mentally, as much as anything, they're going to have to find some separation to that. They're going to have to maybe kind of keep things a little bit smaller at the moment. And I don't mean just play small ball and bunt all the time. I mean just try to focus as much as you can on the moment, staying in the moment. That was something that seemed like, to me, the talk in spring training was how beneficial that could be, not letting things snowball on you when you're thinking about everybody wants to be the guy to turn things around. You're just not going to be able to do that in every at-bat, so you can't take that to the plate with you.
What is your reaction to the general reaction to torpedo bats?
I don't really know if I have a big reaction about it. I mean, like, I saw them and I was like, oh, well, that's different. And then I did a little bit of research on them. I'm like, oh, well, maybe it's not too different or too out of the norm. So they are what they are. I don't think that one bat, no matter how it is designed or engineered, is going to make every single player better just by proxy of picking up that bat. And to me, I mean, I looked at it and thought, okay, well, you're talking about Anthony Volpe of the Yankees. That was where we saw it in that big Yankees 9-home run game. And all of this bat came about because Anthony Volpe just, he kept hitting the bat on down towards the handle. He kept getting jammed. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, so instead of changing his stance, changing where his feet are, or altering his swing to make adjustments, we're just going to redesign the bat. Mm-hmm. All right, well, what happens when he starts just getting pitched further away and further away and further away? It's not going to improve plate discipline. It's not going to change somebody inherently. It's just, you know, a good craftsman never blames his tools. I think you also can't necessarily give nothing but credit to what you're swinging. It's going to be about the individual. So I don't know if that answered the question or not, but I think there's been much ado about possibly nothing here.
Yeah.
But if there's a competitive advantage to be had, obviously, if it's legal or not, as we saw this week, players are going to at least consider it.
It was a good, nice answer and a long way of you saying, I think people are overreacting to it.
Yeah.
I think it's a little, I think it's a little dumb.
What I could have said was, who cares?
Yeah, who cares? It's dumb, I think, is probably the real answer. But you gave a good diplomatic answer, and we appreciate that. Grant, thank you.
Appreciate you, G-Mac.
All right, guys.
Grant McCauley there, 92.9 The Game, Atlanta Braves insider. No more fun job in sports right now than being an Atlanta Braves insider.
That's all they're going to be saying. That's what we need to be saying. Where them fans at?
You know what it reminded me of? Did you guys have wood shop class in high school?
Yeah.
You guys had that?
Yeah.
People would make baseball bats a lot, and they always looked terrible. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody knew how to do it.
Right.
The torpedo bat looks like a wood
like
shop.
It looks like a bad
wood shop class baseball bat. That's what it looks like.
Where them fans at?
Friday, they'll be at the Battery.
That's right.
They sell a lot of alcohol at the Battery.
We need y'all. Where them fans at?
I saw a thing that said the Braves fans are the second drunkest in baseball.
Hell yeah.
They need to check today. I bet they're the drunkest right now. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an AMA. Any question, any topic. Phone lines are open, 404-726-0929. Load them up. Ask us anything. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.